Do you know what your name means? I imagine that growing up, you've at least encountered looking up your name and what it meant, or maybe for your birthday or for Christmas one year, you got a card or a frame that kind of defined what your name meant. In my family, our names are kind of all over the place. My wife, Megan, her name means pearl. Catherine, my daughter, her name means pure. My name means strong ruler. However, Henry, my son, his name means ruler of the house. And honestly, his is probably the most appropriate of all. And our names are fun. Most of them are family names, and really not a lot of them have anything to do with our real character. So it's just kind of a fun thing to learn about our names. In the Bible, however, we find that names are very important, and the majority of the names that we encounter in Scripture actually do have something to do with the character and nature of the person that's being named. God also has a way of changing people's names, redefining who they are, giving them new identities, redefining their relationship with God or with others. Adam, his name means dirt man. Abraham, his name means father. But Abram was father, Abraham, father of many. Jacob, his name means cheat. His name is changed to Israel, meaning the chosen one of God. Names are very, very important in Scripture because they really do, in so many ways, identify and give meaning to who these people were and who God expects them to be. Even in the Christmas story that we just got finished celebrating, we see an interest in names. Zechariah, the priest, decides that he will name his son John, which means God is gracious. And then we see a lot of interest in the name given to the son of Mary. And in a dream, Joseph, Mary's betrothed, is told by God to name his son Jesus, which means God saves. So we see that names are significant. And all throughout the Scripture, what we are called by and how God chooses to call us really in so many ways defines our destiny. And so today, in this new year, we are going to think about a name that gives us new meaning. And it's a name that comes to us in the story of the baptism of Jesus. Now, there's not a lot of stories in between Jesus' birth and Jesus' adulthood, and so we do kind of fast forward pretty quickly. And so I want us to read this story together and then talk about what's happening in this moment of baptism. And not just happening to Jesus, but what happens to us who choose to join these waters with him. Our scripture this day comes from Mark's telling, the first chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 4 and following. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So as I said, the Christmas story gives way in so many of the Gospels immediately to the story of Jesus as an adult. Jesus coming to his cousin, John, to receive baptism. Now I imagine Mary, Jesus' mother, had a lot of dreams for her son, Jesus. Now, she knew the circumstances of his birth were unique, to say the least, and certainly stamped with the divine. But I imagine she couldn't help but ponder the questions that all of us parents ask. What might his first word be? Will he be healthy? Will he find someone to love and to marry? What will he be when he grows up? Will he follow in his father's footsteps in the family career? Will he grow up to love the Lord? Will I see him? Will I live to see what he becomes? And what we know from other Gospels is that Mary and Joseph do their best to raise Jesus to know the Lord. They dedicate him in the temple. Then at the age of 12, he's undertaken his bar mitzvah, and he's an adult now, entering into the covenant community. They lose him, and they find him in the temple. And then the next story, past his childhood, is when he comes here to the River Jordan to be baptized. Something like 30 years has passed. And in all those years, we see, or at least can imagine, that Jesus dutifully listened to his parents and came to this place of baptism. Coming here to publicly begin his ministry and to declare that the kingdom of God had come near. He got down into the water, and as he came up, the heavens opened. The Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven declared, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Thousands of years later, we Christians come to these same waters of baptism. In our tradition, we bring our sons and our daughters as well. And when we present a child for baptism, we give thanks to God and we pray that this child will grow up to know who they are in God, that they are a child of God, that they are beloved by God, and that God is pleased with them. There's an interesting tradition, though, is when we baptize a child, we ask the parents what name is given to this child. And, you know, they rattle off the well-chosen, well-researched name, the name perhaps that they've had cross-stitched and monogrammed for 1,000 different places. And it's a real beautiful moment when they say the name of their child. It's actually a holdover from the early church, when most Christians were converting to Christianity from the pagan religions. And so they had pagan family names. And in baptism, they took on a new name, a more Christian-sounding name. It's why the other word that you'll often hear for it is called christening, when they receive their Christian name. And although that tradition has fallen away, it survives there in the liturgy to remind us that when we are baptized, we get a new name. But it's not the name, necessarily, that our parents have chosen for us. It's not our nickname or what we're called between each other. But rather, we receive a new name from God. In fact, we receive three new names. Because in baptism, what we are doing is, in a way that I can't explain scientifically, but in a way that's probably more real than anything that we can ever describe, we become united with Jesus. Jesus tells us over and over in Scripture that if we want to be His disciple, we have to die to ourself and unite with Him. And baptism serves as the entryway, the beginning of that journey, where through water and by the power of the Holy Spirit, this act that takes just a few minutes changes our eternity. And in baptism, we hear three new names given to us. First, God says that we are His children. God looks down at us, and no matter who we're related to, who our parents are, where our family comes from, God says, "You are my child." Then He lets us know that we are beloved. Not only are we children of God, God is in love with us. We are the beloved of God. His heart swells with pride every time He sees us or thinks of us. And finally, He says, "In you, I am well pleased." Now, this is really important to understand, because a lot of times we think that the way that we earn people's affection or love is by doing things that make them happy. Somehow we have to act in certain ways that make people like us or love us. We have to either serve them or give presents to them or do things for them. But that's not true with God. Yes, God wants us to do things and God has expectations for us, but fundamentally, God is pleased with us simply because He loves us. And we are His children. And every time He looks upon us, because we who have been united with Jesus in our baptisms, He sees His Son, the one in whom He is well pleased. And when He looks upon us, He sees His children. And then baptism, this new name, is given to us without price. Not because we have done anything to earn it or deserve it, but because it is a gift. Just like when your parents named you, they didn't ask you to pay for it. They didn't ask you to earn it. As soon as you were born, they looked at you and called you by your name. And in baptism, that's what's happening to us. And this is why our tradition has retained the early church practice of baptizing infants. Now, this isn't a sermon on whether or not believer baptism or infant baptism are right or wrong. We Methodists say, however old you are, and however much water you want to use, that's fine with us. Because what's happening at baptism has more to do with what God is saying about you than anything else. And none of us are old enough to earn God's love. None of us are young enough to be lovable. What really is happening is God is giving each of us a new name. We're His children, His beloved, and we are pleasing to Him. Every time we come to the waters of baptism, whether our own baptism, the baptism of friends or family, or any time in church when we just have the opportunity to see a baptism. Every time we come, we are welcoming someone into the family. We're giving them the family name and letting them know they have a place at the family table. And we let them know that they didn't deserve it and they can't do anything to change God's mind about it, because God loves you. You are God's child. And God is well pleased with you. So if you're looking to make a new start this year with a new resolution, a new workout plan, a new job, you want to be a new you, one of the best ways you can have this year start is by living into that best name ever. Child of God, beloved of the Father, well-pleasing in His sight. I hope you have the best year ever. And if you've never had any opportunity to be baptized, I would love to talk with you, because it's the best name I ever got, and the name that I want to be known by for the rest of my life. Child of God, beloved of the Father, pleasing to Him. Amen. Well, friends, I do hope that you have a wonderful week. I'll be praying for you to maybe hear the voice of God this week reminding you that God loves you. You are His child, and you are pleasing in His sight. So go in that good news and share that name with everyone you meet. Amen.